From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, our focus is on North Carolina Senate District 9, which includes most of New Hanover County. Not part of District 9 is the largely Democratic African American neighborhood in downtown Wilmington that, as described in detail during our Senate District 8 edition, is 2.6% of New Hanover County voters. In 2014, Republican incumbent Michael Lee beat his Democratic challenger by nearly 11 percentage points. That was after getting the appointment months earlier when Tom Goolsbee resigned. In 2016, Michael Lee beat his Democratic challenger, Andrew Barnhill, by an even wider margin, nearly 15 percentage points. This year, Lee faces two challengers on the November ballot. Democratic nominee Harper Peterson and Libertarian candidate Ethan Bickley are with us today. We will meet the candidates in alphabetical order. Ethan Bickley says he filed for office at the 11th hour. He currently works for a tech startup at Tech Mountain after spending 12 years in the military and private security. And just last spring, he finished his MBA at UNCW. Ethan Bickley, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much for having me, Rachel.
Why are you running in this election? You say you filed in the 11th hour. What was it that made you decide to do that?
Well, one reason was nobody else was doing it. So it was
as a libertarian.
Correct. So it was a bit of a for me, it's a bit of a way to get back into public service because most of my services ended as far as. Most of my service ended about 5 years ago. So it's a way for me to get back into public service.
Why, first of all, run as a libertarian for a state elective office? I mean, this is something I don't think any libertarian has successfully done. No libertarian has actually won state office in the House or the Senate in North Carolina.
Correct. One reason why I enjoy being a libertarian is that I think it is a bit of a refreshing perspective that is separate from the status quo with the Republicans and Democrats.
What are some examples of the libertarian take on statewide issues? For instance, offshore drilling for oil and gas. Is that something as a libertarian that you would support?
I would support making sure that people's private property is protected. That is a huge tenet in the Libertarian Party. So if there are things that are going on that would damage the environment or people's private property and or people's private property, then I would be opposed to those types of things. Additionally, though, for another example, the opioid crisis here is a very large problem. It's not only just a problem for the people that are addicted to it, to that substance, but it's also threatening the general safety of the public. So we need to think of other – I feel like as a libertarian candidate, we have to – we should critically think about these issues and try and do things trying to provide a solution in a new way. So for example, I would support Opiaid and David Reeser. And how he is using artificial intelligence to combat the opioid epidemic.
How does that work?
Well, I'm not exactly the most technically savvy person out there. however, he's basically—
You work for a tech startup.
I work in marketing and sales for a tech startup.
Fair enough.
basically the way he explained it to me very briefly— very, very briefly, is that they're going to draw data from different databases in an effort to remedy the problem with that. So you'd really have to talk to him more about it because it's a little bit more complicated than that.
One of the key issues for people in Senate District 9 is clean drinking water. It was relatively recently that the public learned there were unregulated chemical compounds in the water that are probably dangerous to human health. And there have been all kinds of responses and non-responses to that. The Water Safety Act was recently passed in Raleigh, and that was legislation sponsored by Republican incumbent Senator Michael Lee. What do you think about that particular piece of legislation? And if you could move the ball down the field on the emerging contaminant issue, how would you do it?
Honestly, I had not looked at that piece of legislation, so I can't. I'd rather not speak on it if I don't know what I'm talking about. However, from my perspective, as far as Gen X is concerned, or really any other private business that would potentially pollute our environment or damage a person's private property, as what we've experienced with Gen X, then obviously that business needs to be held accountable for that. They need to. They should compensate people if people's private property was damaged. So I think in the Gen X issue, or another maybe issue slightly less similar to that, the two truths that we have to accept is that the business failed and they put bad stuff in the environment, and the government failed to stop them. So I feel like for the Gen X issue, the best way to combat that or remedy that is going to be a way to change behavior of business. And this is an interesting subject for me because I have an MBA. And it's not a good business strategy to destroy your own market. And that's essentially what ChemHours has done. My point is that we need to focus on how to change the behavior of some of these corporations, and they should understand that this is their market, it should be important to them, and that they should not want to damage it.
Part of the difficulty is that, you know, Gen X is one of the compounds that was discovered, but as researchers have explained to us, that makes up a tiny percentage of the actual chemical cocktail, the contaminant load that's in the drinking water supply. There are other compounds from other emitters about which we know very little or nothing.
Correct. Yeah, I actually had a bit of sponsored an educational forum about this at Waterman's Brewery a couple of months ago with a UNCW professor who is the guru on that stuff. And that's absolutely correct. There are other things going on, and people are putting other things into our water source.
So what should the legislature's response be to those other? I mean, we know about ChemWars, and you know there are debates about how that's moving forward, and there are now things in place to check the water supply. But what about these other emitters? What do you do?
Once again, I think you've got to go back to try and change the behavior of some of these companies. Just because we don't know what the chemical compound is going to do, that doesn't make it okay for it to be in our environment.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Ethan Bickley, Libertarian candidate for Senate District 9, which covers most of New Hanover County. Today's interviews are pre-recorded. One of the proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot would reduce the maximum allowable tax rate to 7%. Is that an amendment that you would support this November?
Yes, and here's why. Taxes negatively impact gross domestic product, whether it is a state GDP or it is a national GDP. GDP is important to fund, well, taxes fund government's services. However, if we focused more on increasing GDP and not increasing taxes, then there would be more money spent in the government.
And so you think it's good practice to cap the tax rate at 7%?
Yeah, I think that taxes impact people negatively as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, across the board, it doesn't really matter. Obviously, they impact people negatively across the board, taxes.
Fair enough. Now, looking at those six constitutional amendments that are on the November ballot, First of all, they've faced public criticism and even battles in court before the language that now exists wound up on the ballot. All five former living North Carolina governors, which includes three Democrats and two Republicans, have spoken out against the two amendments that would transition judicial vacancy and state elections board appointment power to the legislature. Former Governor Jim Martin, a Republican, called the two amendments a scheme. And another Republican, Pat McCrory, asked legislative leaders not to hijack the state constitution. Would you agree with that position? Or do you think that, are there any of the other constitutional amendments on the ballot that you would support?
Which constitutional amendments specifically are you referring to?
Well, let's take the judicial vacancy and state elections board appointment power, transitioning that from the governor to the legislature.
I believe that that's when the legislature will appoint judges, a vacant judge seat, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's, well, we have a separation of powers in this country for a reason. So we don't necessarily want the judicial branch being too intertwined with the legislative branch. And I think that could be a not necessarily a beneficial idea.
What about the constitutional amendment to enshrine the right of state residents to hunt and fish? Is that something you would support?
I believe that people should be able to hunt and fish, absolutely.
Would you support a constitutional amendment?
Sure.
For that? What about health care? When you look at 34 states after the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, when that passed, they were given the option to expand Medicaid. In North Carolina, there are more than 625,000 North Carolinians who don't receive that benefit, even though they're eligible for that under current federal law. Would you vote to expand that? Why or why not?
Well, the Affordable Care Act has been very detrimental to small businesses. This is not necessarily, I'm talking on a national level, not necessarily a state level, but small. I personally know small business owners that are paying $30,000 to $40,000 each year in health insurance costs. That's outrageous, and the economic implications associated with that on small businesses is probably not going to be good in the future.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Ethan Bickley, Libertarian candidate for Senate District 9, which is most of New Hanover County. Do you think the General Assembly has a further role to play in bringing up North Carolina's standings in terms of being able to attract and keep excellent public school teachers?
Absolutely. Obviously, I think we would love to have excellent public school teachers.
And how should the legislature go about moving North Carolina forward that way? It's for years now, North Carolina has been viewed by, there's been something of a teacher exodus. Are you aware of that?
Not so much. I probably should be. But, we definitely do not want to lose any teachers, right? I also understand that there may be options in the private sector for education as well. I think we can look at the difference between private and public schools. And, obviously there has to be public education. I mean, we cannot get rid of public education. But I think that making more private education available may be beneficial. For an example, I have a friend of mine that has a child, and he would like his daughter to go to this private school. However, the waiting list is 700 kids long. So should this person be able to be denied his right to be able to send his kid to a private school because there are not enough private schools in the area? So I think there's as far as I think the teachers could get paid more in private schools. You can look at university level statistics for this, comparing maybe Duke to a public institution.
Do you think public school teachers should be paid more?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How much more? How far does their pay need to go?
Well, this goes back to GDP and taxes. So, additionally, we also must. It's important for us to keep in mind that currently the Department of Education in North Carolina receives approximately 60% of the general fund. Second place there is Health and Human Services at 20%, and I think below that is Public Safety at like 12%. Or something. So, it's not as simple as just saying, well, I want teachers to get paid more. It's also like, well, I'd also like police officers to have better training. But at 12% of the general fund, well, that's what you get. But my point of my other, so let's bring taxes into this, and we'll talk a little bit more about GDP as well. So, if we raise GDP, the same percentage amounts will go to those same departments. The general fund will pay those certain departments of the state of North Carolina. Now, if we raise GDP enough, more money will, the same percentage amount will go, but the dollar amount will be higher.
And that's our time. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Ethan Bickley, thanks for joining us today and sharing your views.
Rachel, thank you so much for having me.
When we come back from this break, we'll meet Republican incumbent Senator Michael Lee. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.